We continue on the Mishnah on Lamed Hey Amud Beis, basically in the middle of the page. Ve'elu dvarim shel ovdei kochavim asurin ve'ein isuran iser hana. The following, we're going to list our items which are not aser behana but aser to eat. Chalav shechavu ovdei kochavim ve'ein yisrael ro'eyu. Number one, milk that was milked by an idolater and a Jew didn't oversee the process. So again, that's the chalav Yisrael, which we'll get to a little bit here and a little bit more later. Va'pas, bread which was baked by an idolater, pas akum, vashemen shelahen, and even oil that they process. Rebbe Beis Din hoi tiru hashemen, however, Rebbe and the Beis Din permitted oil. Rashi points out that it wasn't actually Rebbe, as we'll see later on in the Gemara. It was Rebbe Yehuda Nisia Bar Bere, his son, who matured the oil. Vashlakos, vegetables that were cooked by an idolater are prohibited to eat. Again, that's Bishul Akum. Kvashim, Shadarkan Lasais Lasocha, Yain Vachomets. Other types of foods which you generally put wine or vinegar in it would be prohibited to eat. Latris Trufa. Rashi says the small type of salted fish that is trufa that's cut up into small pieces, so you can't tell whether the fish you're eating is actually the tris, which is kosher. Maybe there's other non-kosher fish mixed in. Vetzir she'ein ba daga kalbis or kilbis shotetes bo, and you have this tzir, this liquid, a brine, which the kilbis fish is not swimming inside of it. Whenever the kilbis fish is not swimming inside of the tzir, you can assume that it's non-kosher tzir. Vehachilik, which is also a small type of fish, which Rashi says is a sultanus, that it doesn't have fins and scales yet, but it will have fins and scales in the future, so it is permissible, but it would be prohibited if it was made by, put together by an idolater, because he could have, again, mixed in other items into this fish dish. The koret shel chiltis u melach shal kundis hare elu asurim ve'ein isuran iser hana. So these are other things which are prohibited. The chiltis, the koret shel chiltis, Rashi says is prohibited because it's like a fruit or some sort of vegetable that you cut with a knife, and the prohibition is not because of the fruit or vegetable itself. It's actually because of the knife that you use to cut with it, and usually the knife isn't clean. So the shamnusa de sakina, it's the dirt or whatever is on this knife which would cause the prohibition of the food. And this melech shalkundis, which is the salt, will have the Gemara Rashi says is going to explain what that is all about. Okay, so the Gemara begins with the Chalav Yisrael discussion, a small discussion here, but later on it'll be a larger discussion. Chalav l'mayne chushla. Why are we concerned, or what is the concern about the milk which was extracted by an idolater? If you're concerned that the idolater is going to give you a non-kosher milk instead of the kosher one, tahor chiver, tamei yarok. We know that the kosher milk is clear, it's white, and the tamei one is yarok. It's I guess has some sort of tint to it. It doesn't look white, so you can determine whether the milk is kosher just by looking at it. So that shouldn't be a concern. Iaruve, and if you're concerned that maybe the idolater mixed in some non-kosher milk into the kosher milk, nekum, then all you need to do is just do a test, curdle it. Damarmar, chalav tahor omed, chalav tamein omed. We saw this a little bit ago, that kosher milk curdles, non-kosher milk doesn't curdle. So if you take a little sample and you curdle it, it should be fine. Id kaboy legavina hachinami. So the Gemara says, well, if you need it for cheese, if you're planning to use the milk for cheese, then yeah, hachinami, you can take all the milk and test it, and you'll be able to determine. But hacha b'mayaskina de kaboy lekamcha. You want it to eat it as is. If you want to eat it as is, you want it as a dip or something, well then you're not going to be curdling the whole milk because you don't want to turn the whole thing into cheese. So the Gemara says, Vinishkale mine kali. So take a small sample, vinekum, and then do the set test and see if it curdles. Gemara says, "Kivan de betohar nami ikad nisuve de lokaimi lekem ala de milsa." So the Gemara is going to give two answers why this small test isn't going to work. Number one, he says the truth is that even with kosher milk, it won't fully curdle because you have whey which doesn't curdle. So when you separate the whey from the rest of the milk, of the rennet, it's not going to curdle. And when you have the whole milk together, so some parts are going to curdle and some parts aren't. So if even in kosher milk, not everything is going to curdle, it's going to be impossible to determine whether in non-kosher milk the item is kosher, or in any milk, whether it's kosher or non-kosher mixed in. Too hard to tell. V'ibois ema, which, by the way, I guess nowadays when you could process it and do some sort of test, then you technically would be able to tell. V'ibois ema filo tema de kaboile lagavina, or you could say even if you wanted it for cheese, right? Up till now, the understanding is, yeah, just take a whole milk and test it for cheese and everything would be fine. But it says even if you want it just for the cheese and not just to eat it as a dip or something like that, it would still be a problematic because ika de koi beni atvi, because sometimes there are holes in the cheese, as Rashi says, and maybe that the holes in the cheese come from the tame milk, which didn't curdle. And that's why there's little pockets, little air pockets there. Therefore, as a result, we aren't able to determine whether through a test, whether the milk is kosher or non-kosher. And that is why we need some supervision in order to ensure that the milk is kosher. That's the first part of the Gemara. Again, the larger discussion about Chalav Akum will be later on Lamed Tes. Va'pas, so now talking about Pas Akum. Amar Rav Kana and Rav Yochanan Pas Lahutra based in Mechalal Dikaman Deshari. Rav Kana said of the following rule, and Rav Yochanan, that Beis Din never matured bread. Even though in the Mishnah they matured shemen, they said, you know what, they rescinded the ban on oil, they never rescinded the ban on bread. Pas Akum was always prohibited. What was the point of making the statement? The implication is that somebody maintains that Pas Akum is permissible. Gemara says, in, that's true. There is one that permits it. Tachi asa Rav Dimi Amar, Pam Achas Yatsa Rebbe Lasada, Vehevi Ovid Kochavim Lafanav Pas Purni Ma'afei Sa'a, Amar Rebbe Kama Noa Pazu, Ma Ro Chachamim La'osra. Says the Gemara that Rav Dimi mentions a story that Rebbe one time went to the field and he saw this nice bread baked by an idolater and he said, wow, how beautiful is this bread? How could it be that the Chachamim wanted to prohibit this bread? And that's the end of the story. So the Gemara says, Ma Ro Chachamim Mishum Chasnos. What do you mean? What did they say? The reason why they prohibited the bread, it's not because it looked nice or didn't look nice, it's because of it could lead to intermarriage when you're breaking bread together. So rather, Elamaro Chachamim Laostra Basada. Rather, what he meant was, why did the Chachamim see fit to prohibit the bread even in a field as opposed to in the city? So what does that mean based on the story? Kisvurim Am Hiti Rebbe HaPas. So everyone thought that Rebbe actually permitted Pas Akum. Veloi, but it's not true. Rebbe Lohiter es a pas. Rebbe never permitted pas akum. He just made a mention. Wow, look how nice the bread is. But he never said the bread is permissible. So when it says the michlal di ikaman de shari, there's someone that permitted it. He didn't really permit it. It's just he thought that theoretically it should be permitted. But Chachamim said no, and he upheld that opinion. Rav Yosef Itema Rav Shmuel Bar Yura Amar Lo Kachaya Maisa. That wasn't exactly the story. Rather, this is how the version went. El Amru Pamachas Halach Rebbe Lamakom Echad Vera Pas Dachok L'Talmidim. One time, he went to a faraway location, and he saw that it was very difficult for his Talmidim to get bread. Amar Rebbe, Ain Kan Palter, what? There isn't a Palter around? Who? What kind of Palter are we referring to? Palter means a baker. So, Kisvur Ma'am Lomar Palter of Kachavim. They thought that what Rebbe meant was, is there no non-Jewish or idolatrous baker around who could bake for them? Which that would imply that any bread baked by a baker, as opposed to someone doing it for just their personal usage, would be permissible. No, but Rebbe actually was meant, is there no Jewish baker around? He wasn't asking about a non-Jewish or an idolatrous baker. You can even understand that Rebbe actually was asking for an idolatrous palter, and he would rely on that. But the reason why he was relying on permitting a non-Jewish baker was because there wasn't a Jewish baker available. But in a situation where there is a Jewish baker around, then he would never rely on that leniency. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even according to the opinion that he was asking for an idolatrous baker, Hanimili Besada, he would permit that only in the field of Al Be'ir Lo, Mishum Chasnos, but never permitted in the city because of Chasnos. So you have different opinions as opposed to the extent of Pas Akum. Do we permit it? Pas Akum doesn't appear like we ever will rely on Pas Akum, but Pas Palter, when it's baked by a baker, Rabbi Yochanan would never understood Rebbe that he would never permit it in the city, even Palter, but according to the earlier opinion of Rav Chelbo, it sounds like he would rely on Pas Palter even in the city, so long as there isn't a Pas Palter, a Palter Yisrael available. Evo hava mankis ve'achel pas abe mitzri. Their story goes that Evo was eating bread on the border of a field. Sounds like the outskirts of the city. Amar lehu Rava v'itamer of Nacham Reizcha lo tishto b'haved Evo. Don't ever pay attention to Evo. To ka'achel lachma de armoi. He's eating Aramean bread. So they were very upset at his behavior. Apparently, there wasn't a situation where there wasn't a Palter Yisrael available, or that maybe there was a Palter Yisrael available, and then he was still eating Pas Akum, or maybe he was actually eating Pas of a regular idolater, not a baker. The halacha of Pas Palter and Pas Akum is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and the bottom line is that Ashkenazim are lenient to rely on Pas Palter, even in the city, even when Palter Yisrael is available. It seems to be the general custom that the Ramah brings down, and I think that a lot of the kashrus agencies rely on it, but sometimes even some of the breads in the supermarkets, which you wouldn't imagine are Pas Palter, and nevertheless are not Pas Yisrael. You would think they're Pas Palter, but not Pas Yisrael. Oftentimes they have come up with some innovative ways to make them Pas Yisrael, but as a general rule, the Ashkenazim rely on Pas Palter of a non-Jew, even in a situation where a Palter Yisrael is available.